Good morning. The lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, starting at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. But keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Aren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." A reading of the word.
So I don't know if you guys want to come down or it be on quant to you, don't have to. But I do have size, and it's really key to the joke. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not key to the joke. It's part of the message. It is. You know what? There's lots of sides. So glad you're seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. I began working at the age of 14. And by the age of 21, I had more than one job at a time. And that's the way it's been since I was 14 and since I was 21. So I worked a lot of different places. And I have to tell you, I have been so blessed. I've been so lucky, whatever you want to call it, because I've never worked in a place where at the end of the night, we didn't say, "I love you" to one another. I have been so fortunate to work with amazing people and among amazing people. Now, granted, you know, I'm not in cutthroat industries, right? I mean, I'm a children's librarian, and I've worked in libraries, and I'm a pastor, and I've worked in churches, and I've also worked at assisted living places. So it's not like, you know, at Mount Nebo, we have a woman who worked in the atomic power plant in Shippingsport, and it was just different for her. But there's always a but. I will tell you that one of the biggest disagreements I have ever had at work is over this book right here. Cliff's going to show you the cover to this book. Please, Mr. Panda. You wouldn't think that a book with a cover as enchanting as this one could cause fights. But it does. And I took some screenshots of it so you could get the gist. Please, Mr. Panda, here it is. First page. You got Mr. Panda, and he's got his donuts. You can advance it. Go ahead. Yeah. And Panda says, "Would you like a donut?" And on the next page, there's a sweet little penguin who says, "Oh, yes, I want the pink one." And on the next page, nothing. Next, we have Panda saying,
"Oh, I changed my mind. You cannot have a donut."
All right.
So Panda goes on,
"Would you like a donut?"
And now here comes the skunk.
"Oh, I want the blue one and I want the yellow one."
And once again, no response. But now there is a response from Panda who says,
"I changed my mind. You cannot have a donut."
And this goes on and on and on. All the little animals who say, "Oh, yes, I'll take that one, or I'll take this one," until Panda finally says,
"Would anyone else like a donut?"
And the next is, he's just looking around
And next we have one little guy who says,
"Hello, may I have a donut?"
There he is, isn't he cute?
"Please, Mr. Panda?"
To which,
"You can have them all."
"Oh, thank you very much. I love donuts."
"You're welcome. I don't like donuts."
Now, my dear co-worker and friend, Lee knows Miss Rebecca. You probably heard that book too, right? Yeah. She loves this book, and she has had great success in many a program and a classroom. And this book is wildly acclaimed, with reviews from teachers and librarians, kids, and caregivers. And I think it's one of the worst books I've ever read, because I think Mr. Panda is a jerk. And if this book is meant to teach kids manners, to teach them how to be thankful and grateful for a gift, I think that makes it even worse. Because to me, it seems that Mr. Panda's whole
"anyone want a donut?"
act is just to make himself feel like a great guy for being so generous and to unload the pastries that he doesn't even want. And it sort of reminds me of Jesus in the story today. I mean, I don't know about you, but this time when I read this story, I was pretty upset with Jesus. This is not the Jesus that I'm used to, because I think Jesus was a little harsh. Now, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He and his disciples were on his way to Jerusalem, and he knew that Jerusalem was not kind to prophets. He had lamented, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone them who were sent to you."
But also, though, hadn't Jesus just shared parables? Parables like the shepherd who had 99 safe sheep and one was gone, and he did all he could to get that one little sheep back. And hadn't he told the story about the joy of finding one lost coin?
So it seems to me that Jesus should be more grateful for that one person who came back.
Why are you focusing on the nine who didn't? And also, why are you angry at them when the other nine are just doing exactly what Jesus told them to do? Go show yourselves to the priests. And they went. And Jesus, think about the state of mind of those nine who went back. This is commonly called the 10 lepers. The common English Bible calls it a skin disease. And leprosy, even though we've come to use that term, it's not the one that we know today as leprosy, Hansen's disease. But this skin disease that these 10 had, it was one that set them apart like you wouldn't believe. You may have heard this. Those afflicted had to be alone outside their community. When they walked by among people, they had to call out, "impure, impure," or they had to ring a bell to let others know they were coming. They had to wear torn garments, keep their hair unkept or uncut, and they had to cover their upper lip either to show that they were in mourning or to keep from contaminating others. So Jesus, imagine how excited these individuals were, how free they must feel to be away from these horrible restrictions. And they want so badly to be back in their homes, back living and worshiping in their community. They were so caught up in the moment. They had suffered so much. Come on, Jesus, you're the Son of God. Aren't you going to cut these people some slack?
And aren't you going to simply rejoice over the one person who is in front of you? Well, the truth is, we don't know what tone of voice Jesus used when he said, "Where are the other nine?" do we?
He may have been angry. He may have also been just surprised.
But there's also the very likely possibility that Jesus was simply sad.
Sorrowful, not for himself, but for the nine. Because just one came back, and as Jesus points out, which I also think was a little rough to say nobody came back but this foreigner, but this one Samaritan, who is one of the enemies, one with religious beliefs and practices that were considered heretical, this one got it. Somehow, this one thankful soul understood that a lot more had happened than just a cleansing of a skin disease.
Maybe Jesus was rejoicing in that fact, but yet sad that the other nine, apart from their skin disease, they missed the whole point. Perhaps it was just woefully baffling to him that these precious hometowners
missed out on a healing that lasts.
Because you see, this story, it has two different kinds of healing in it.
Jesus healed all 10 of their skin disease.
But we have to think of healing as a two-way street to get the full significance of this story.
That one healed person was so overcome with gratitude that they could not follow orders to just go on to the priest to get back into the community. That one person had to give thanks to the one who did the healing.
And in doing so, in allowing their heart to be changed that way, in that act of thanksgiving, we see the second, more powerful healing take place. Indeed, Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you, not of the leprosy, but of so much more."
But the others, the one I imagine Jesus did feel sorrow for, they did not open themselves up. They did not receive a complete healing that day. Yes, they were overjoyed. They couldn't wait to reclaim their life in community. They were thankful for the bodily healing they received, but they stopped there. "Give us mercy, heal us." And when they were healed, they went on their way, not able to open their hearts enough to see that
they didn't need to settle for a temporary cure. Because true gratitude would have led them to faith and a different way of seeing the world.
I don't know how you feel about that word gratitude. It's very much of a hot topic today. It's sort of become a commodity. There are gratitude journals and bumper stickers. There are plaques that we hang on walls and pillows that we use to decorate the living room that say grateful. Hashtag grateful is used ad nauseum on social media for everything from new material things like a new car or home to the profound, like the birth of a child or a successful medical operation. But real gratitude goes beyond that, and gratitude itself is powerful and sacred. I couldn't believe I heard about this woman, and there are many others like it who have gratitude podcasts and gratitude YouTube series.
And part of the one woman's plan, who has billions of subscribers, is first you say thanks, and then you put in the order. Like a magic formula. Like I'm grateful for this, and now I want this. But that's not gratitude, at least as we see it explained in the Gospels or shown in the Gospels. Real gratitude is a practice that leads to faith, that expresses faith, and it leads to joy, not a temporary practice, not a temporary happiness that is experienced when we get what we want or get what we need. But this is a joy that remains no matter what happens next. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Brother David Stendhal Rast. He's a 99-year-old Benedictine monk from Austria, and he founded the Network for Grateful Living because he believes so powerfully is the feeling, the overwhelming sense of gratitude. It can change individuals and then society. And he says, gratitude is the joy of gratefulness in touch with the fullness of life. Can you be grateful for everything? No. No, you cannot be grateful for war or violence or sickness. But there are many things in every moment for which you can be grateful. Even if it is just the moment itself, that breath. And the key is to understand that every moment we have is an opportunity. Every breath, and when we realize that, when we internalize that, that each one is a gift, even in the midst of horrible suffering, we have life. And Jesus saw that the person who had returned discovered this, a sense of gratitude, not for the healing, but for the healer, that God who's present in every moment. The nine, they went away and they were healed from their immediate disease.
But as we know, being human means that there's going to be a disease. And then another disease. We're going to struggle. And then we're going to struggle again. We're going to lose something, someone so precious to us. And then we're going to lose another.
And that's going to happen to the nine. And that's also going to happen to this one who came back. But the one who came back, who gave thanks, connected with the source of the sustaining love and life. And now, when this next disease or struggle or loss comes to this person, this one will know that they are not alone. They'll know that they are being held and loved. And I must tell you, it's interesting because I don't think I really would have understood this or been able to take the text in this way had I not seen it in action about 2 weeks ago. I was at the ER of the Allegheny General Hospital. It was 2 a.m. And my friend and I were standing at the bedside of her 34-year-old son. He'd just been life-flighted from a suburban ER to the north side, and he was about to undergo an emergency operation with the hope of saving his life. And I've known this kid since he was in second grade. He was in my youth group at the Baptist church. And he is just a good guy. And he was pale, and he lost so much blood.
And when they did do the surgery, they drained another liter and a half from his stomach. He was bleeding internally. And that doctor there that night, that morning, was very straightforward with the three of us. And the doctor said,
"We don't know what the outcome is going to be, what we're going to see when we get in there. But right now, we need to try to save his life." And they gave us a few moments with him before his surgery. And he looked at us and said, "I want you to know I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the life I've had, and I'm grateful for you being here." And he went on, because Dave and I have a lot in common. We're both talkers. He went on, even though he was in terrible pain. And he said, "I have so many beautiful memories. I've been lucky. I've been blessed. I've always been loved. I'm so grateful. And maybe I'll have many more years to come. But I'm grateful right now." I saw gratitude. This holy gratitude right before my eyes. Now, my young friend, he came through that surgery. The next day, Life Flight had to take him to Cleveland Clinic, where he's been ever since. But he called me last night. He's coming home on Tuesday, finally. But the reason why he was so critical that night was the result of an operation that he'd had in Cleveland at the beginning of September. Because he has a rare genetic disorder that leads to nearly 100% risk of cancer before the age of 40. And that was also the same disorder that took his dad's life 20 years ago. So he's never going to be cured physically. And he's had so many operations during his life, and there are so many yet to come. But he has a sense that no matter what happens physically, no matter what temporary good or bad news he receives, he knows he is held and loved. He is healed and whole through his gratitude and his faith. Like that one leper who came back, knowing the source of abundant, everlasting health, the love of God. And my hope is that each one of God's beautiful children would receive such healing until the world is made whole. Amen.